I'm Henry Glasheen, Digital Content Coordinator for Slug, and you're listening to Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, covering music, arts, lifestyle, and events. In this episode, we'll be speaking with Charles Moodhart from the band Fuzz. Fuzz is a garage rock band based out of California. The group comprises Ty Siegel, Charles Moodhart, and Chad Yubovich. The band formed in 2011 between the three friends as an outlet for Moorhart's passion for heavier music like Blue Cheer and Black Sabbath. And in October 2013, the band released their debut self-titled album and toured the United States, performing with Ronland Cosio on bass until he was replaced by Yubovich. Last month, the band released their second full-length album, Two, followed by a European and US tour. Today we're speaking with Charles Moodhart, longtime friend and collaborator of Siegel, who's been a member of several bands including Charles and the Moodharts, Culture Kids, Epsilon, Fuzz, The Perverts, and the Ty Siegel Band. Slug writer Nick Smith chatted about their latest album, music style, and their current tour.
So how did you and Ty Siegel find each other? And when did you guys start playing together?
We started playing together in high school. Yeah, we just kind of started playing in bands. We actually didn't really start playing in bands together until he had just graduated, moved up to San Francisco. My sister lived in San Francisco, so I would, go up and hang out with my sister and, go hang out with Ty and shit and go to, his show. He was in that band, Churchill Fools, at the time. I would go to, their shows and hang out in their practice space and stuff. And we played in a band called Epsilon together at the time. I mean, just basically ever since then, we've tried to do as much as we can together. You know, we both like to do a lot of different stuff, so just doing random bands that exist for only a day or whatever.
Did you guys have a lot of shared musical influences?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think we, you know, as all of our friends in our group, you know, we've known each other all for so long that we've kind of grown up musically together. You know, everyone shows each other music over time, and so in that way, definitely.
By the time you guys started Fuzz, how long have you been playing together before that?
So we started playing Fuzz songs probably 4 years ago, for real. I don't know, so I guess we've been playing music for 6 years before that. I think we've been basically playing music together for 10 years.
What was the original drive then to create Fuzz? I mean, you guys were playing together for a while, and Ty Siegel's band, and touring and everything.
Well, I mean, it kind of started there was a time where I was just at home, and I was just kind of bored or whatever, and I was just sitting around kind of thinking about, I wonder if it would be, I wonder if I could record a song that was you know, a Black Sabbath type song. I was just thinking about, you know, I've never, all of us have always loved that kind of music, and we've never, you know, we've kind of flirted with it a little bit, but it's kind of I just want to try to record something that sounds classic and heavy, you know. So I just went into my garage and kind of just started messing around with some stuff, laying down different drum beats and just coming up with guitar riffs and stuff, and ended up just having a lot of fun. Was actually stoked on what I came up with. So I ended up just kind of accumulating a few different, you know, riffs or songs or whatever, just kind of strings of riffs, you know, just ideas. I ended up making a tape of it, and one day Ty and I think we were sitting outside of a show, we just loaded in or something, and I was I want to play you this stuff, see what you think about it. I don't know, I've just been messing around, and he was actually really stoked on it. He's oh dude, that's rad, we should play, we should jam on this sometime, you know. And he's obviously an amazing drummer, and I've always known that, and he, you know, at the time he had been talking about how he wanted to play drums in a band again. So I was yeah, we should, you know, if you want to play drums, we should just jam on this. So we for a while it would be just me and him jamming guitar and drums, just kind of playing through these riffs and not really knowing what we were doing, or you know, there was no real point. It was just kind of fun, and just seeing how much we could expand upon certain ideas. It just kind of snowballed from there, I guess.
You released that your first 7-inch anonymously, right?
Yeah, well, we weren't trying to pull any extreme move. It was mostly we wanted people to listen to it. We just didn't want it to come out as oh, here's something new from Ty Siegel or whatever, you know. We wanted people to hear it and just kind of process it and come up with their own opinion without any kind of outside forces or something, you know.
Yeah.
So we just kind of tried to keep it just kind of slipped it out into the world. Obviously, you know, Ty's voice is very distinct, so we weren't expecting it to last that long. We weren't trying to like get away with anything. It was just more the idea of as much as possible, like let it go out as its own thing and have people react to it without it being, you know, either positive or negative because of it having to do with like him, really, you know?
Right. Did you guys get any reception that surprised you?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're still constantly surprised, you know, like this whole band is like, it's all about pushing ourselves to our personal limits and exploring what that even means, you know, so I think we're constantly surprised when people like it, and, you know, there's people that don't like it, which is rad, too, you know, it's like, it's rad just to see what people think about it, you know, it's definitely an interesting type of music, because it's not like we're trying to, like, pretend like we're doing something, like, brand and new, you know, we're just trying to be, like, a rock and roll band, but, so it's definitely, like, the whole process of hearing people think about it is, like, really fun and interesting, because people have very specific reactions to it, and, when we were first starting, like, we had no idea if it was good, we had no idea, like, what we were trying to do, and, when people liked it, I mean, it was really reassuring, you know, every step of the way has kind of been, like, us just kind of, like, trying to push it further and see, like, how that goes, and I don't know if that makes sense, but...
Yeah. So then getting into your second album, too, how has the writing process changed since you've kind of incorporated a third music writer?
I don't know. It's hard. This record's really interesting because all of the songs kind of fall into a different writing process. Like, some of the riffs or ideas, like, I've had for, like, a really long time. Like, some of them, you know, even since, like, the first record, and we didn't get to work them out. So every song, you know, and then obviously Chad brought, like, two songs to the table, Ty brought a song to the table, and so it was definitely really communal, like we were all really involved, and we just kind of shut ourselves away for a couple months and tried to like hash it out, you know, like everyone was extremely involved in every song, whether or not anything was added or changed depends on the different songs, but it was cool being able to like, you know, for me being able to bring like, oh, here's this song, and we could all just like jam on it for like a little while and, you know, start to decide, like, what needs to change, what needs to go, what needs to be added, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I don't know, Chad is, like, he's an amazing songwriter, and he's an amazing musician. I think that the funnest thing for me and for all of us is the fact that, you know, we can all pick things up pretty quickly. So it's, like, I don't know, the songwriting process kind of becomes faster when it's, like, oh, cool, so that's the part. You know, even if we're not, like, playing it perfectly, it's, like, we can sit down and, like, start playing a song within like a half an hour of learning it and just kind of really start getting the vibe going, you know, every song was different. Some of them we sat there and wrote the whole thing together, and we would write a lot of lyrics together. It was really, I don't know, it's a hard answer because it was like all over the board, you know.
Right. You said you hid yourselves away. Where did you guys record this?
We recorded it at Sunset Sound here in LA, but we really like I don't know, we were really excited to go to that studio. We only had 5 days there because it's really expensive.
Yeah.
So, you know, we spent like a few months, you know, we took like breaks here and there, but the better part of it was like probably 2 or 3 months trying to play like almost every day at our practice space. Just really, we were just trying to have it all together so that we could just go into the studio and in those 5 days, like bang out like all the live takes. Cause yeah, then we took the recordings home to Ty's house. He has like we brought his tape machine into the studio, brought it back to his house and mixed and did vocals and guitar overdubs and stuff there for like a month, which was where it really got kind of insane for a little bit, but it was just like the songwriting was like in our practice space.
Did you guys have a conceptual goal going into it, or did they just kind of come one at a time?
There was a lot of material that I kind of had in my pocket, you know, so once we started, you know, like as we started going through like my songs, and then also like writing stuff together, and then like Chad had songs and Ty had a song. It was kind of like as we were going through it, we kind of started to realize like, whoa, there's a lot of stuff here. You know, we didn't even really make it through all of the material that we could have for this record, but it was funny because it kind of became obvious that, you know, either we're going to have to just stop. There was a point where it was like, either we stop now and focus on these songs and make this the record, or it's going to kind of have to be this, like, double record. You know, like, obviously, we were not trying to, like, blindly dedicate to that, but it kind of just started becoming obvious as we, like, worked out more and more songs and that we didn't want to cut any of them. I don't know. It was a weird thing in that way.
The lyrics in 2 seem to be more themed around, like, doom and kind of alienation, and it has sort of a darker tone, I think, than in your first record.
Yeah.
Sort of what was going through your guys' minds at the time that you were recording the album that made that come out lyrically?
You know, it's weird. It's a lot of different things. We wrote a lot of the lyrics together, and I don't know. At the time, I realized that a lot of it was on a similar wavelength like that, and I think that we also tried to, as much as possible, I think we tried to keep it mixed up. Like, from my perspective, there's a few songs that might sound like they're the same thing, but they're actually, like, in my head, they're about two different things. Like, the song Let It Live is, like, a good example to me, because we wrote it, and at first it was kind of more on the, like, same level of, like, dark and bleakness, you know? And I remember I kind of had a moment where I was like, maybe we should make this a little bit more lighthearted, because I don't, you know, maybe we should stray away from this being, like, down, 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 you know? So, but it's weird, because when you look at the lyrics, it still sounds like it's actually a really, like, bleak song, but from my perspective, and I think from the perspective that we were actually trying to write it from, is actually a person who's kind of, like, elevated above, you know, it's like a perspective from the outside that, you know, maybe maybe you're looking at the world saying, like, oh, this is a dark and, you know, doomed place, but at the same time, it's the kind of elevated idea of being separate from that and sitting back and being like, you know, let it live, like, it might be okay, or, like, at least from my perspective, it's okay, you know what I mean? So, I don't know, it's a weird thing, because I feel like the record varies in its emotion, but it also, the more I think about it, it's actually pretty bleak.
You guys just finished a tour in Europe, correct? How did it go over there?
It was really fun. You know, it was kind of crazy because we didn't have our record out. Still, people were really stoked. Because we didn't really get to do a proper European tour on the first record. So, I don't know, it was really fun. You know, we hadn't toured together as a band in a while, and it was refreshing to just hang out with those guys. And when you go to Europe and you have somebody who's, like, taking care of you and driving you, and it kind of becomes this different experience that you feel, like, a little bit disconnected from the whole thing, like, not in a bad way at all, but, you know, like, it's not like in the U.S. where you're so familiar with, like, everything, like, every highway, every Taco Bell, every, you know what I mean,
yeah.
Like, all these things, you know, so you kind of get to, like, go into this different state of mind. And played a lot of festivals, which was weird. That was the first time we had played any show that was like that in this band. It was a fun challenge that I think we ended up doing pretty well with. Yeah, it was just super, super positive.
I'm Rebecca.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Cherry. And if you like your geek news with a bit of a twist, then you'll love
Hello, Sweetie.
Hello, Sweetie podcast brings you the latest and greatest geek news and information from an all-female panel.
We'll bring you the most recent information about movies, TV, comic books,
video games, roller derby, pop culture, and more. Subscribe on iTunes and like us on Facebook.
For your weekly dose of geek culture from a female perspective, tune in to
Hello, Sweetie.
Now that we're back, let's listen to a track from Fuzz's latest album, 2, which came out on October 23rd. This song is called Pollinate.
Bigger.
You just heard Pollinate from their latest Fuzz album, too. You can catch Fuzz as they come through Salt Lake City on November 23rd at Urban Lounge with Walter. Thanks for listening to Slug Soundwaves. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Send us suggestions of what you'd like to hear on the show by emailing us at soundwaves@slugmag.com or hit us up on Twitter at Slug Soundwaves. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega, Christian Schultz, John Ford, and myself, Henry Glasheen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our show's theme was performed by Temples. Our main logo and art design was by Nicholas Dowd, and the technical design was by Kate Colgan. Thanks for listening.